You're listening to SBS News.
New mother Arok Deng is all too familiar with the struggles involved in finding a secure place to call home. She's recently given birth 6 weeks earlier than expected and is living under her mother's roof while waiting for her husband to arrive from Kenya. Miss Deng was working and inspecting houses until just days before her baby was born.
I think I inspected about 37 houses, and out of all of them, I haven't even got a single one. And then recently, I just got one, but that was way off my budget. And I'm like, I can't even afford that. With the baby coming, that's going to be hard and with under one income.
Without any rental history, Miss Deng fears that finding a home for her young family will be a near impossible task.
If you don't give people who actually never rented a chance, how are we ever going to get a rental history if nobody give us a chance to rent? You know, we got to start somewhere to get somewhere, you know. And it just seemed like it's a cycle of, like, disappointment going through every single day.
Amid a perfect storm of inflation, natural disasters and a global pandemic, Australia's rental crisis has worsened. It's pushing people like Miss Deng to the brink of homelessness. And according to Professor of Social Sciences and Australian Research Council Future Fellow Cameron Parcell from the University of Queensland, housing stress can have dire consequences for families.
We know that when people don't have housing, a range of other complications occur in their lives in terms of an inability to be safe, an inability to participate in the labour market or education, but also an inability to care for family and look after children. We know that housing is the critical determiner for people to be able to organise their lives and live with dignity.
As rates of displaced people continue to grow by 3 to 4% each year, the federal government has pledged to create a housing plan to end homelessness. The chair of Homelessness Australia, Jenny Smith, told SBS News that the plan needs ambitious investment targets if the problem is to be eradicated within the decade.
We need to see 25,000 social housing properties developed each year, 25,000 affordable housing properties developed each year. We need to see our lowest wage, that the Centrelink income increase from $45 to $70 a day, and the rental assistance increase by half as well.
Australia's housing crisis is only expected to deepen as landlords hike up rental payments in response to higher interest rates that are set to peak later this year. It's leaving homelessness services overwhelmed and more calls than ever being left unanswered. Professor Parcell says these services simply cannot compete with the current housing market.
Their capacity to end someone's homelessness, to a very large extent, relies upon the housing market that they have no control over. So the good work that they do is often wasted. It's washed out by the absence of housing that's affordable that their clients, the people who are using their services, can exit into.
Women and children continue to represent almost two-thirds of Australia's homeless population. Ms. Smith says that to address this, the government also need to strengthen their draft plan to end domestic and family violence.
Well, we need to recognise that women and children escaping family violence are the biggest group who are coming to our homelessness services every year, and that, you know, 7,500 women every year return home to the perpetrator because they find that they just can't afford to be anywhere else. And we know that 45,000 other women would like to be able to leave but just can't see a pathway forward to be able to afford to do that.
According to Professor Parcell, the lack of affordable housing in Australia is a policy choice. And he says the COVID-19 pandemic has offered a glimpse into possible solutions.
COVID showed us that we can actually do differently. COVID showed us that when governments have the will, they can actually intervene immediately in support of the homelessness service sector, and they can get people off the streets, they can get people out of congregate and dehumanising shelters, and they can get them into something better. When the will was there, we were able to change radically.
In addition to their housing and homelessness plan, the Albanese government has committed to a $10 billion Housing Australia Future Fund. It promises to build 30,000 social and affordable homes over the next 5 years. Speaking at a virtual panel of housing and homelessness advocacy groups, Federal Housing Minister Julie Collins says that with the Prime Minister, who grew up in social housing himself, she expects the new government to take this issue seriously.
The Albanese government recognises homelessness is a significant issue and is committed to working with the states, territories and stakeholders across both the housing and the social services sector to tackle this national issue. We all know that good leadership starts from the top, and the Prime Minister's deep personal connection to this issue really means that Australia finally has a government in Canberra that will step up and show strong leadership and a focus on ensuring that more Australians can have a safe place to call home.
If you or someone you know is impacted by sexual assault or family or domestic violence, call 1-800-RESPECT on 1-800-737-732 or visit 1800respect.org.au. In an emergency, always call 000. Brooke Young, SBS News.